One thing that came in crystal clear from everyone that we talked with is that nobody wants to give up flexibility. Hello and welcome to our first episode. My name is Mihai. This is Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael. And so this is the Driver Story podcast. And we're just going to talk about, kind of the progress so far, like what the project, what the Driver Story is specifically. And take it away, Mihai.
Yeah. So, as I said, my name is Mihai. I'm a film student alongside with Michael, but I have also been a driver for the past almost 4 years. I've been a minicab driver, driving with all the big apps in London that pretty much everyone knows. And we're studying documentary this semester, and I thought it's a great idea to tell the driver's story, because as probably many drivers feel, you're oftentimes alone in your car, you're by yourself with your own thoughts, with your own problems, and changes come at you, you know, for either from TfL or from the apps or from, you know, the government, if it's lockdown or not lockdown or anything like that. So I know that no one really talks about the drivers, although the unions try to do that and probably will touch on that. But the drivers that are not represented by either the unions or some other institution, they don't have a voice. So we plan to do this documentary where, we plan to tell basically your story. So...
I mean, I was going to just mention that because I'm like Mihai said, I'm not a film driver myself. So when we were obviously introduced to this new semester when we're doing documentary, and Mihai kind of gave this idea, and I thought, okay, this is something interesting and actually a good story. That I agree with all of the points he's talking about. Like, as someone that isn't a driver, I always hear about like Uber or TfL or change. You never really hear the story of the driver or their perspective. And so that someone, as an outsider, this was something I was interested in, and being both a film student and also like an editor and a videographer myself, I was like, okay, this is something I would be interested in telling the story of. And so basically my perspective for today would be kind of the things I found out along the way as you know, as an outsider, my perspective on the matter, as someone that isn't a driver, and the things I've been learning and revelation I've been finding out so far. So yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And it's helpful for me as well, right? Because I'm sort of inside, and having you finding all this stuff out is having a fresh pair of eyes, you know, from someone who sees the issues that we're talking about. So we started by, so let's just, I'm thinking we should update everyone on what we've been doing, where we're at now, and where do we plan to go. So we started maybe a couple of weeks ago. And I posted in all the minicab drivers groups in London that I could find on Facebook, a poll asking people, saying that I'm going to do this documentary. And what do you think are, the main points that this documentary should cover? And why don't you tell us, Michael, what were our findings?
So we did a poll. We kind of had a conversation initially, me and Mihai, and we kind of thought, okay, based on kind of the things that have been happening and things that Mihai put forward, like what subjects we talk about, and then we did a poll. And the four main subjects that came out were the reasons why people became minicab drivers, some of the safety measures and dangers, safety measures put in place and dangers to both the drivers and the customers. The relationship between apps and drivers, and lastly, can any experiences that the drivers have had with clients that were both good and bad, and kind of the highlights of their career, basically.
Right. And the next step was after that to try to get in contact with the people that interacted with our posts, that either liked, commented, or voted on our poll. And so we had five video calls this week. We're probably going to have a couple more next week.
And the
discussions were quite interesting. We talked with Mo that has a blog. His blog is Driver App London. Then we talked with Kem.
Kem.
And
for some time as well.
Sorry?
I say he's been a driver for some time.
For a few years now. And it was interesting to find, you know, out his perspective as a person who has some medical issues, and he literally cannot have a non-flexible job. And it's interesting because there's multiple jobs out there that are flexible, or like in the gig economy, like, you know, you could do delivery, for example. But for him, it has to be this job. So it's a very unique and special, you know, situation he's in. Then I think we spoke with Luca as well.
We spoke to Francis before Luca.
Yeah, we spoke to Francis.
So Francis is also similar to Cam in the sense that it was kind of, he needed to have flexibility because he said, I think he's one of his family members had an even like autism, I believe, and he needed to be, you know, flexible to be able to kind of pay attention to, you know, his family. And so that, that was the cause for him moving into kind of driving, into being, becoming a minicab driver. And he also from there set up his own business, his own chauffeur and business. He was a Uber exec before the COVID hit. And he also mentioned that, like, so similar to Kem, I believe it's Kem, he had many different kind of skills. But the focus was as a minicab driver, that's kind of the main one for him.
And it was interesting with Francis because we talked about the different types of clients that book different types of cabs. And he, because he started as an UberX driver, he started, I think, 4 years ago when we only had Uber in London. And then he switched to exec. And he, so he had an interesting perspective about the different types of clients. And obviously also the security measures that, you know, that in itself, it's a security measure, you would think, or more secure if you drive exec.
You need more secure exec, you generally should need more. As, because as one that's driving a high-class car, you, you think that, okay, you get more security as one that is,
And interesting enough, people might think that if you drive an exec car, you know, you get rich people, quote unquote, and then they're going to treat you bad. But actually, Francis was mentioning that, you know, he met a lot of interesting people and a lot of...
I think he even said that it was kind of the opposite, actually, of... In Uber, like, just normal, like, Uber X, it's just very... The customers are worse, basically, in comparison to Uber exec. You get more people that are very, you know, very level-headed. They're kind of, you know, did their job even whilst it was, you know, there was no arguments or anything like that. From what he mentioned, it's more, you know, it was better customer, basically.
And before COVID, he mentioned that he was working usually around the city of London, taking customers back and forth, taking meeting, you know, people to meetings, etc. And he, eventually he started his own chauffeur company. And then we talked with Luca, which was another interesting talk we had, because he was one of the drivers that was actually banned by Bolt. And he was banned because he was declining too many trips. And a good point I think he made was, if I'm self-employed, then I should have the right to decline as many jobs as I want. Because I'm like a contractor, right? So if you want a quote from a contractor and he doesn't want to give you a quote for whatever reason, maybe he's busy, or maybe he just doesn't work in that area, etc. If, you know, we're talking construction or anything like that, You know, if he's not going to give you a quote, you can't really ban him for that. You cannot call him again, but, you know, it's not really. But yeah, so he saw his business and lifestyle impacted in a way because of this decision that Bold took to, cancel his account. And interestingly enough, they said that he shouldn't reapply for another 9 years.
Exactly. That was a bit odd. I was like, 9 years? maybe I was thinking actually later on that maybe it happened last year and it was like a 10-year.
Only 8 to go? Oh, okay.
I was going to mention that. I feel like, again, as an outsider, like coming in and having all these calls one by one, it was very similar kind of topics. Like, I mean, rather views. A lot of, basically everyone had very similar views. Or in terms of like things like safety, in terms of the way like communication with the apps, the way TFL, the regulations and all of that. So it was a lot of similar things. And it made the story much more real. I was like, wow, this is something that's really impacting people. Like the fact that the drivers are kind of sidelined, especially in contrast to the customers, whereby you think, because, you know, from the conversation we had and what they were telling us, and you told me about this as well, that the process to becoming a minicab driver is so strenuous, it's so long. There's different, all these medical and different tests you have to kind of go through and pass. But in contrast to the customer, they just have to, you know, have a bank card, and they don't even have to have a photo. They don't have to, the names on their account doesn't have to match the bank card. And it was just very a massive contrast. And it was like, wow. So like, and again, like I said, the comments were from everyone was the same, basically, were very similar. Like, this is the difference, and this needs to change. Because, you know, if someone, like it happened with Gabriel, while he was, you know, taking a ride, delivering a service via boat, he was stabbed and killed. The person that committed the crime, because of the way it was set up, generally you can't trace him. I mean, luckily the person was, you know, was found and arrested. But like, if it was another situation, you can easily set yourself up where you're untraceable, essentially. Someone that committed a crime. So
let's touch on that. What were some of the issues raised by the drivers we talked with, and what were some of the ideas that they had found interesting?
Like I mentioned, the safety measures and the different types of the fact that, you know, drivers have to go through so many checks before they become minicab drivers, and the fact that customers don't have to. And so I think a common thread with solutions that the drivers we spoke to said was that if there was a way that like customers had to have, for example, a photo on the account, so that as a driver you can cross check and make sure that it's the same person. They also mentioned things like people having to upload their official IDs, and basically so that the customers have to go through maybe not the same types of checks, but at least some kind of form of checks that either you can confirm their identity or can trace them back to back with their homes. I think that was a main solution. I'm trying to remember any more that.
No, I think Luca was mentioning some sort of face ID when you book the cab.
Exactly.
Because that's one of the things that Uber does. You know, if there's people watching that are not drivers, from time to time, even though you're online, even in between trips, right? You're online, you're working. Maybe you've been working for a couple of hours, and then randomly Uber is going to say, it's going to log you off, and it's going to say, scan your face, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the exact message, but basically you say, we want to make sure that you are the person who has this account, right? So there's no, there's no one account. And then someone else is driving on that account, right? Because they had some issues in the past with that. So Luca was mentioning that maybe and it's quite easy, right? Because all phones pretty much now, they've got Face ID and you can face recognition.
Yeah.
So just as you use your finger and the fingerprint sensor for a purchase, for example, online, you could do the same thing you know, just scanning your face and make sure that the person that's booking the cab is the person who has the account.
Exactly.
And because, and one of the articles I think that Mo had on Driver App London was saying that he was basically giving tips for people, for drivers, you know, what could be suspicious. Straight away as you see the booking. So people with or customers with very low rating, obviously, so 2.5, 3, that's not even, I mean, I personally don't, under 4 stars, I don't even pick up. I mean, I don't even confirm the trip. I just decline it. But then also customers that have a 5.00 star rating, you know, because you know that's a new account.
Yeah.
So
like almost perfect. It never exists.
Yeah. So it's either a new account, which was fine in the beginning because people were just downloading the app, right? Yeah. But now, you know, if it's a new account and it's a short ride, and you're in a different part of London that, you know, you've heard in the news they had issues with security in general, then, you know, you might want to look out for that, right?
You also mentioned that if when the customer has like a single letter name, like or M or something like that's definitely a fake account. Or someone setting that up just, you know, they don't plan on using that account again or something like that. Or very often.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I had customers with, I think I told you this, Miss Queen you know, or H or Z or, you know, stuff like that. And the only issue with that is that it's not traceable. You know, you know, I'm sure that there are people out there that are, fine people that maybe don't want to put their name out there. Maybe they're famous or whatever, you know, and they just put the letter there. Right. So the only issue is basically with traceability. If someone has bad intentions for whatever reason, you know, and we know there's people out there, as much as we'd love to not have, you know, people with bad intentions, some of them do have. And so it's just a matter of traceability. And if something happens, you know, the police can track them down, which is very easy for the police to do when a driver does something bad.
Yeah.
But when a customer does that, it's a lot harder. Actually, because you mentioned, you know, the process of starting as a customer and the process of starting as a driver. And Kem got his license in 2019, he was saying.
Yeah.
And so he took him 9 months.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But at the same time, he was mentioning that if there wouldn't be so long wait times, everything could be probably done in a week, 2 weeks max. But
I think that's another thing I found that, like the drivers were saying, that it's basically TfL are just out to basically make money, and they're super slow, they're not helpful. They really don't take the side of drivers, especially the minicab drivers. And in contrast to the way they treat, you know, black cab drivers, basically, the older perks and things like that, I think both TfL and just the government and politicians are just against the growth of, you know, the minicab industry with minicab drivers and apps, etc. So that's one thing that was common as well that I found.
Yeah, not to get political, but a couple of them actually said that they think Sadiq Khan and TfL are against the apps. Right. So, what do we plan to do next?
I mean, I think so. We because again, we're still in film school and stuff. So we did like a proposal for the documentary we're doing. So we kind of outlined a lot of the things, our findings that we're talking about today, all the subject matters we wanted to cover. And I think the next step for us in terms of production for the documentary is to fine tune the topic. We're going to sort of pick like a focus, and then from there we would kind of build up how we're going to attach all these other topics and really touch on a lot of the things that, you know, we've been talking about today. And then I believe we're going to contact some more people and have more conversations, do more research, myself, more backstory, and just get more cases, because I think Kem also mentioned that New York had a similar case with the ADCU case where they won against Uber. They said they worked out a way to have minimum wage. So things like that, and just kind of those kind of information, just to get them together so that we have more research, and we can continue production with the documentary basically, and then from there we'll take a character and just, you know, and continue to build it up.
So New York, because we actually forgot to touch on this. I mean, I forgot. So the ADCU case was one in London was one, but you know, I think it applies to the UK or to England. I'm not exactly sure on the technicalities. No. Uber said that the ruling only applies to the drivers that actually sued Uber in 2016. ADCU, from what I've gathered from the media and, you know, what I've seen online, they're saying that, you know, it's a law that applies in the country, so it doesn't really matter when or who sued Uber. We'll see about that.
I think was it Francis or Ken was mentioning that it takes time as well, like, or the rollout of, like, just the fact that the one, I think it was like in February, like a few weeks ago. So yeah, it probably a few months before actually the changes starts to roll out. So that's another thing that, again, the government and TfL. So, but anyways, that's getting political. So let's not.
Yeah. And also Mo was mentioning that they had the same ruling in France, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they haven't done anything basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And there is this precedent in New York with having minimum wage, and Cam was saying that that would be a potential model for London for the future. Yeah. We'll see about that. But again, one thing that came in crystal clear from everyone that we talked with, and also everyone that I've seen online, is that nobody wants to give up flexibility.
Yeah, so that's true.
If minimum wage, sick pay, and holiday pay is going to come at the cost of flexibility, a lot more drivers are going to be against it.
Yeah, I agree. Makes sense. Because again, like, that's another common theme or a trend that we, as an outsider, I found with basically all the drivers said when they joined, it was because they wanted flexibility for, you know, whether it was illness or family members, just the main goal was to have flexibility. So with all these changes, if it works against that, kind of goes against the whole point.
We'll see if we touch on that and how, if we touch on that, how we're going to present that in our documentary. But I think the next step, as you said, we've done the proposal, we presented in front of, you know, the class and our teacher and everything. So, and let's talk a bit about the feedback that we got from our class, you know, and our colleagues and our teacher, because they're also, you know, I have my own bubble as a driver, and then we have a bubble as, you know, film students that are doing this project, and then they, you know, our colleagues at school and our teacher, they have another fresh pair of eyes, and they give us a different perspective from someone from the outside. So what was some of the feedback coming back at us?
I mean, I'm just looking at my notes from class yesterday. So I think, again, like I mentioned, I think the tutor was saying that, well, I think it was quite positive generally, like in the fact that this is a very real story, something that, like, through me, I have a really good contact with. But I think that the teacher was mentioning that we need like a core, so like an absolute core, like a center of the film that we're focusing on, or a main character that we can follow. She was mentioning, what tense is it? Is it someone looking past events, or following a new driver that is becoming an Uber driver? So, like I mentioned, kind of a main next step for us will be to answer a lot of the feedback. So, which is to find a main core, a main subject that we can focus on to start with, get research around, potentially find a main character, and then during the production or during the pre-production and post-production, we can start to add all these other elements of, you know, things like, whether if the focus, for example, is dangers and safety measures in the contrast with drivers and customers, we can then potentially start to add things like, you know, TfL and how they're slow, and, you know, the different way they treat taxi drivers, the apps and their development, and how come it's so easy for customers in comparison to drivers. And, you know, we can start to add all the other elements and, you know, build up the story. But yeah, like, again, like, so that's the main that was the main feedback of, we just need to have a core. We had great research. I think we mentioned great research, great characters, but we just need to have a detailed focus that we can build from.
Yeah. So we mentioned at the beginning, we have four main topics came out of the poll.
Yeah.
So probably one of the next steps is going to be to choose one of them. I remember our teacher was saying that all of those four topics that we thought we can put in one documentary, all of them are in themselves a doc or could be a documentary.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we just need to find our core and then pick one of them. And then from there, you could have different streams of build up, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I believe that all of these, all the different topics or four main topics, they really interconnect. Mm-hmm. They're really all related to each other one way or another. So once we do have a focus, then it'll become much easier to build around that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also we have to decide on the style of documentary that we're going to do.
Yeah. So. But that's something in next week we'll probably have conversations about and fine tune, develop, talk to more people and go from there.
100%. Okay. So, I mean, for me, that's pretty much it. Is there anything that we might have missed or?
No, I believe that's covered so far what we're doing, what the next steps are. And we really hope you guys are really as interested as we are, because as an outsider, I'm actually quite interested in the topic and interested to see how it develops. And also if you guys know anybody that you think would be a great, that would think, or even you yourself, that wants to be a part of the documentary, you want to tell us your story, you want to give us your information, your experiences, please definitely either comment or there'll be an email in the description or on the screen that you can send us for information as well.
Yeah, and you can also contact us online, and if you have dash cam footage, if you have any of that, or a story or something happening that you think it's worth mentioning, Chris, send it our way. Or if you know other people we're looking for, we said, characters, personalities, and stories. So yeah. if you're that person, or if you know someone that is either a character, has a strong personality, strong views on things, or has, great stories that need to be told, just send them our way, because we're doing all this project for ourselves, because I include myself as a driver. And I think it's a story that needs to be told.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So thanks for watching / listening. Remember to like, subscribe, and share.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and guys. We'll see you next week or next time.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Okay, great. Thank you. See you.